Good evening and welcome to the Rissington Podcast.
Hello, welcome to episode 15 of the Rissington Podcast. My name is John Hicks. This is John Oxton.
Hello.
And behind me is John Dennis.
Hello.
There we go. Quick, straight on to housekeeping.
Yes.
Well, first thing is, I got Rob Mason's name wrong. Because his name isn't Rob Mason, it's Rob Hansen. Sorry about that. But that's my little bit of housekeeping done.
Yes.
Now then, big changes afoot.
Oh, we're going after Boag.
We're cleaning up our act. We're going to go after them. No, we're not.
No, we are going to make some changes, aren't we? We're going to have a theme from episode 16 on. A little discussion about something once a week.
So rather than necessarily doing questions all the time, because I don't know if the questions are drying up. They're not, are they? They're still getting questions in.
We're living on the edge slightly.
Yeah, we're starting to get into the territory of very similar questions. And we're not just talking about the old ring of fire, you know, text pattern, fireworks, coding.
Yes.
But yeah, generally, things are a little bit too samey. So we want to shake things up a bit.
Yes. And we're going to choose the theme for next week at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
So keep listening.
When we finally thought of what we're going to talk about.
We've got a few ideas.
Shall we go questions?
Yes, please.
Shall I start?
Yes. Looking at this survey. Yes. Take it away.
This is from Dorian Kernitsky.
Hi.
No hi, but hello anyway. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Oh dear. So hearing as you gents started my question, I was filled me with much glee and joy that reminded me of seeing my name printed in a comic book.
So as because I missed the L off, so I was filed with much glee.
I was not going to say anything.
I'm sorry, but that was
I thought
great.
I thought it was, yes, I was filed with much glee.
I was tagged with glee. Sorry.
Where was I? So as a small boy, teenage, and hopefully not much longer thereafter, did the panel collect read comics? If so, which?
Yes, I certainly did.
You go first.
Very first comic, I started off on the Beano, which I read a lot, and I was in the Dennis the Menace fan club. You didn't get a free catapult, which I was always very disappointed by.
Nah.
You just got a badge and a wallet thing, but it was still a nice feeling.
Didn't you get a book full of a little secret jokes thing as well?
Yes,
that's right. And it was in a black foldie. I was very proud of mine.
How to speak like Nasha. Put a G in front of everything.
Yes. Was it a G? Hey, a G? No.
Yeah.
Gnu. We should do the whole podcast in the silent
Gnoxton. From the Beano, I had a bit of a gap, and then I went on to the Eagle comic. This was the re-released Eagle comic, not the one from the 60s.
Yeah.
Which I think got subsumed by another comic or something eventually.
So it was the other way around for me.
Yeah.
I've started with the Eagle comic, the re-released. I remember it being re-released. And then from there I went to the Beano.
The one, but 2000 AD was the main one.
I was
a big 2000 AD.
I wasn't.
Judge Dredd, all that malarkey.
No. Eagle, Beano, then Buster. Do you remember Buster?
Yeah.
And then Viz.
Yeah.
Johnny Dennis was laughing over there going, I know he's going to say it.
Do you read anything American, like American comic books?
Nope. I don't do comics really now. I probably should.
I read a few. I used to go like and collect things like X-Men, but Watchmen was good. And what was the one that was called Deadline? And it was Deadline that V for Vendetta ran in. And that was great. I remember not understanding a word of it at the time. Like, why this guy was grinning all the time. But it was good. Years later, I understood what it was all about. Oh, it's political.
Oh. I think I used to read Lookin' as well.
Lookin', yes!
Yeah. There's a Wikipedia entry, actually. I'll link to that. It's a link of all our comics. But yes, Lookin'
My older brother used to have something called Cheeky. Cheeky comic.
Excellent.
And it was great. I can't remember. There was some guy called Plug, I think. Or was that Beano?
That was Bash Street Kids, wasn't it? Plug. Yeah. He was the ugly one with the big
teeth. The guy that illustrated it, I think, also did Cheeky comic. What a great comic. Anyway, I'll see if there's one for Cheeky as well. Oh, Nostalgia time.
Could dig out all my. What did my mum and my eldest son bought me the Beano Annual 2008 for Christmas? Thank you. And they were all still there, Minnie the Minx.
Bash Street Kids.
Excellent. So, this doesn't sound like a question, it's more of an observation.
Yes.
The subject is Queen observation. Isn't that the kind of thing you get locked away for?
Yes.
Climbing up the walls and observing the Queen.
Tim Perslow says, whatever the Queen uses to produce her site, it's going to be written in HRH to be held strict.
I had to include that. Brilliant.
That's fantastic. Nice one.
Big up your bad selves.
Yeah, I wish I'd...
Big up, Tim.
So, boy, if that wasn't the question, shall I answer the next one, or you want to do the next
one? Go on, you ask it. Yeah, I just wanted to throw that one in.
Tom Ledbetter.
I think this is not a question either.
Oh, isn't it? Okay, well, I'll have two non-questions for every question. Hello, chaps. I just wanted to say that after hearing you buy and then eat a Boost and Twix on a podcast, almost live, I'd have you know, that this is the best podcast I've ever heard. In fact, I turned it off because I almost certainly peaked at the point.
He peaked or we peaked?
Oh, he peaked or we peaked.
We don't want to know what he's doing to our podcast. Thank you very much.
Terrible. Twix chat is the future. Thank you. Yes.
We are geniuses. We know.
It's much easier when you have to edit it as well. Okay.
Oh, for fuck's sake, John Eakes. Well, how does it happen? Fido Gessiewicz. I'm so sorry if I've pronounced that wrong, and if I haven't. Anyway.
Well, normally when you have like a J, you have to think of it as like a Y, but actually. Yeah.
Gessiewicz. Oh, if you'd like to pronounce that for us, Mr. Fido Gessiewicz. I understand you two jolly chappies have children's. Have you ever wondered what would happen if your kiddies Googled your names and found the naughty podcast? Oh, shit, I shouldn't have sent this. Well, don't include a swear word. You'll tame the podcast and destroy all its fun. P.S. Don't tell Mr. Berg, but the show has done much more for my web design skills than his meager show. Sam. So his name's Sam.
Yeah.
Not Fido Gessiewicz.
Is that his internet pseudonym?
I think he's a bastard.
He's not for real, is he?
Fido
Gessiewicz. I mean, it's very nice of him to say that, but I'd be surprised if anyone's actually got any web design skills out of this show.
Oh, I don't know. I've got quite a lot out of it. That's how it all started. Ways for me to ask you questions.
Through the medium of podcast. Yeah,
through the medium of, yes. Well, would you like to answer first?
Well, first of all, I'm not worried because at the moment they're not at the stage where they Google things. They're very much at the stage where we are always around when they're looking, or if not, we're using things like Leopard's parental controls.
Yep.
Because there are very specific sites that we let them see, like Lego,
Playmobil, CBeebies. Yeah. All that sort of stuff.
That kind of thing. But yeah, there was a time when we didn't have that, and I think Daniel got a link from CBeebies to BBC.
Oh.
From BBC, he managed to get to YouTube.
Yeah, this has happened to me, and suddenly YouTube, oh shit!
From YouTube to Hot Titties.
Yes.
At which point,
Daddy took over.
Yeah. Hey, you've been looking through the history, have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so not worried.
No. When we do mark it explicit, for a reason, so that stay away, children.
Well, I guess there's going to be a point in the future where they are old enough to know to Google stuff.
Yeah, and the stuff they're going to
think, or Google Daddy's name.
Yeah, they're probably not going to be concerned about all the swearing. More probably embarrassed that we did this in the first place.
Yeah, by that age they'll be a bit, can we just for living?
So lame. Although it won't be lame then, will it?
Whatever it'll be, it'll.
Yes, and besides, my children, I'm of the much the same opinion, and my children hear me swearing all the time, so. Mm.
And in fact, they don't swear. They tell me not to swear.
My children do not swear.
Yeah.
Well, my youngest did say fucking dog the other day. But to be fair, I think he thinks that's the dog's name.
Well, there is that. Yeah, so not worried.
No.
Yet.
No.
Ed Soden. Interesting name, actually. Mm. Ed. And he actually signs off as Ed Soden, so he's not Sam or anything.
No. Or Jane. Except at the weekends.
Yeah. Dear panel, I was wondering if you could give me some advice on web hosts and domain registrars, especially with respect to hosting a good old-fashioned British blog. Is that like a good old-fashioned McDonald's?
Yeah, so we're not going to read that last bit, are we? Or are we?
No. Right. Yes, it's a very good question, this one, because Domain registrars are use easy name, easy co, or cheap names, I think it's called, which I've used ever since the very first day I registered hicksdesign.co.uk, and someone told me that you could register domain names and use it as your email.
Wow.
I thought that was great.
You've got email? Wow.
I rushed off and got that. Then hosts.
Well, I think the general principle I operate is don't be afraid to pay for hosting. Don't necessarily go for the cheapest.
Yeah. It's... I've done this recently because I've been looking into other web hosts. And basically, for every web host that everyone says is great,
there's always another. There's always people saying it's
shite.
Yeah.
Or have big problems on it. It feels a bit hard to name names here.
Yeah, I think we should avoid that for now.
But
My registered domains are easily.co.uk if they're for clients to use themselves, because I believe they have good support and the control panel is very easy to use.
It is a little more expensive, but if I'm looking after the domain, I tend to go to reg123.
Oh, yeah.
That's nice and cheap. Yells. It is my go.
It is.
Pete Evely. Hello, chaps. Knowing you like a wee, especially after a couple of beers.
Who doesn't, eh?
I need a wee now, actually. We have to zip through this. And that at least one of you likes Lego, may I ask, out of the Lego movie-based video games, which do you prefer? Lego Star Wars or Lego Indiana Jones? Ooh. Sorry, can't think of an interweb-based question at the moment. Too much cider.
Oh, right.
Peter Evely, also known as Foam Cow, who lives in Gloucester.
Gloucester, and in Barnwood Road.
I talk to him in Twitter sometimes.
I've almost read out his name, address, and telephone number. Yeah.
What time he won't be in.
Yeah, exactly. Very hard to say, because I think Indiana Jones is actually being delivered today. So I haven't actually played it yet. So who knows?
Who knows?
But Lego Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's the business.
My son loves it. I haven't really played it yet because I've been doing Zelda and then Mario Kart. But yeah, every time I watch him play, it's like, that's really good.
I found a really good walkthrough on Tintinets. It was based on this huge, long page. It looks like a plain text file. It's all in ASCII. Monospace fonts. And for the first time, I actually understood what I'm trying to do in Lego Star Wars. That's how you get gold bricks. it's quite useful. Yes. And the fact that, yes, you have to... You can't complete... get all the mini kits in one level, you have to come back with your free play and various types of characters, and goodness, but yeah, I still enjoy it.
Yeah, you see, it's all the character collections that my son loves, so.
And the little things like, you know, stormtroopers having a jacuzzi with their their clothes off, but they've got their helmets on
and their blue undies on.
It's little bits of genius like that.
I have to say, having looked at the trailers for Lego Indiana Jones, I suspect it will be coming through a letterbox soon to my house too.
So we'll come back to you on that one.
Yes.
Once you've had a good play of both.
I'm sorry, I included this. We could probably skip it if you want it.
Is it because it's from Steve Marshall?
Yeah, that'll be why. He doesn't listen anyway.
Cocktails. I'm watching Casino Royale and watch Bond order a Vespa Martini. I'm a huge cocktail fan, so now I'm thinking... that's next on my list to try. What are your favourite cocktails? Personally, I'm very partial to a good mojito. They're easy to make, also easy to mess up. Hey? Then it's not easy to make.
Yeah,
surely. They should serve as a good indicator of the ability of the bar staff. So, I have this problem with cocktails.
I don't drink them.
Well,
unless vodka and Iron Brew counts as a cocktail.
Well, yeah, doesn't it? Or that's a mixer.
Oh, I don't know.
I have a problem with cocktails that I sometimes drink them, but then I forgot what they're called.
Yes.
Because well, they're always called like convoluted names, this is a Derbyshire sewer drain or something.
You'll never remember this in the morning.
No.
Yes.
Not just because of drunkenness, it's, you know, just that kind of... bizarre name thing. So that's a really hard question to so I'm glad you put this one in.
Yeah.
Since neither of us actually got a decent answer.
Well, I think it's good not to give Steve a decent answer. He doesn't deserve it. Moving on.
Yeah. I quite like margaritas with the crushed ice, though.
I think I have been drunk on vodka martinis before now.
But I don't ever make cocktails.
No, we don't have a cocktail shaker at our house.
No, I don't ever have the... I mean, apart from, you know, We do things like, you know, Pimm's lemonade, gin and tonic, but yes. We don't do cocktails.
All in one go. Fuck, that must be harsh.
Yes. It's called the Great British Bomb or something.
The Great British Binge.
Yes. You put egg and bacon in it as well.
Nice.
Right. James John Malcolm.
Hello.
Hello. More questions to help with the drought. Can't have a hosepipe ban spoil your fertile greens.
I say.
We know you both like rock bands. You see how little people know about me.
Any other types of music that really get you going? Anything by him, Gershwin, Daft Punk?
Rachmaninoff.
Yeah.
You did that just for a comic effect.
You just wanted to be eyebrow, didn't you? You with your eyebrow names. Gershwin, Daft Punk, Tiesto, Ace of Base, Busta Rhymes, Basement Jacks, Pendulum.
Yes.
The what? The McCallums?
I've heard them all apart from that last one. Yes. The McCallmans. Is that like an Osmonds or something?
Obviously, I don't just mean get you going as in dancing, but anything too ecstatic to be from ecstatic to moved. Do you dance?
Well, do you want to clear up the rock band thing first?
Yes, I like Radiohead and Elbow, but that doesn't mean I'm a rock band fan.
No. You do have some of the stuff, White Stripes.
Yeah, okay.
Block Party.
Yeah, okay, I like rock bands.
In an ironic way. But I'm also a big drum and bass fan.
Yes.
So I like most things off Hospital Records. And yes, I love Pendulum. They're very, very good. I don't know. Go on.
Other things, I'm quite partial to folk, ambient. Don't tend to go for much dance, really, other than where it crosses over into ambient, really. Mm. Can't abide rhythm and blues.
I hate jazz.
Or gospel.
Well, that traditional jazz.
I like jazz, though.
No, we don't like gospel. I love a bit of jazz.
No. Bit of John Coltrane or Jerry Mulligan.
Coffee shop sometimes with you guys.
I think, what else is there? Sometimes a bit of classical.
Yes.
Things like Goretzky and those sort of very, almost like Philip Glass type things.
Yeah.
Again, they're sort of crossing over with ambient as well. It's very...
There's been some nice Radiohead reworks and the Aphex Twin classical reworks as well. The quartet.
Oh, yeah.
So those are good. Actually, I have to say, coming to this office is quite good because there's quite a good mix of stuff, isn't there? So you always... have a bit of new stuff.
Yeah. Like MFO.
Yeah. Oh, MFO.
Russian space disco.
And we always get a bit of history from Mr. Dennis.
The genre with only one act in it. That was quite bizarre, actually, just seeing the Borat film finally last week and hearing OMFO in it.
Oh, there's things they...
just sounds a bit kind of, hang on, that's a bit odd.
What we could do, actually, is give our links to our Last FM accounts.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be a same
that
thing
would be
to
good.
Do? Instead of linking every fucking band we speak.
Although it might link specially to OMFO.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Good questions. Like that one.
Yes, thank you very much. Spiffing question from Rob Mason.
Rob Hansen.
This is who I got confused with, isn't it? This is Rob Mason, not Rob Hansen. I was thinking
we should call him Rob Handsome.
We should call all our listeners Rob Hansen.
Rob Hansen, hello.
Thought I'd try for a more serious and on-topic question this time.
Ooh. Can we skip over this?
Basically, I'm okay with getting the structure of a website right and the general look and feel layout is fine. However, I struggle with the little details and polish that would make my designs great. Oh no. Does the panel have any advice on who to approach? I think how, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I quite like that.
Who to approach this hurdle?
That's the question I always ask. Who's available to help me with this?
Yeah, who do you send in?
Yeah.
Oh, God, you first with this one.
Goodness me. Well, iterate, that's my key word for today. Sometimes just doing it and saying, well, I'll just do it, and then I'll come back and look at it can help.
Yes. I think you've got the nail on the head there. There's nothing to beat doing a little bit of it. You know, slapping it together, leaving it.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's very hard to do that when you're doing a deadline and it's got to be in. But obviously, you've got to try and give yourself a bit of breathing space. But yeah, do it, come back to it, and you'll see what you need to do.
Yes.
It'll leap out at you.
Yes, definitely.
I do that all the time.
Definitely agree with that. Have a colour palette. And gather around your peers and say, what the fuck do you think of this? And they'll go, it's all right.
Yeah.
But I think don't put it out on the internet because you're inevitably going to get trolling. But if you can get a group of people together who you can trust to give you an honest but but good opinions, that can help.
I mean, there's lots of very specific stuff about, you know, checking your white space and line height and things. But, I'm a big believer in...
And use a grid. God damn it. If you struggle, use a grid.
Yeah.
Use a grid anyway. But
yeah. Use a grid, and if it doesn't feel right, change it. Yeah. Make it better.
Make it. Fix it. Good question, that one. Like that one. Oh, for fuck's sake. What's going on here?
Oh, isn't this the podcast of names?
Jacko Nutella.
We are truly an international podcast.
I'm reading it as Jacko Nutella, even though it has too many letters.
No, I think you're right.
Jacko Nutella.
Yeah. Or Jacko.
No, see, he's earning big, big points.
Hello, Mr. Oxton and Mr. Hicks. I like that.
This question for Mr. Hicks.
I'll just go for it. I got into a bit of a heated argument with a co-worker about browser-specific style sheets and conditional comments. In my opinion, it's easier to keep the main CSS file clean of redundant CSS and write a specific CSS file to IE and call it with the help of conditional comments.
Yes.
Which is the Internet Explorer's approved way of doing things, even if it's not standard. My co-worker doesn't see the point of separating CSS files just for a bit of special tinkering for IE. Instead, he uses important to manage IE in the main CSS file. I tried to make a case about important that shouldn't be used as a hack, and the co-worker insisted that that's what's important should be used for, separating IE in other browsers. Your co-worker lives in the past.
What a strange way of working.
But it does go back to, you think, 2004, 2005, when we were all hacking away with important and underscore hacks and style
thing
hacks.
Like for things like IE6, if you're trying to put an alpha PNG in there, and one of the best ways to do it is that alpha image loader.
You don't want any
expression.
Other
expression. Yeah, you don't want that cluttering up your CSS file. Mm. You know, absolutely. I think, Jacko, you've got exactly the right approach. Keep your main CSS clean, and then in the future, when IE6 isn't really a thing to worry about anymore,
you remove one dodgy conditional comment from your file,
and it's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah, don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, well, I think, and the IE developers themselves, for better or worse, have requested that we do it that way.
Yeah.
So we assume they know what they're up to with their browser, and that is the recommended.
And personally, I prefer that we can do it that way and target a specific IE6, IE7, rather than having to use things like, was it the first child selector to introduce a style and then use the first child selector to put the style right for modern browsers. That is the wrong approach.
And it is that, I know the important hack as well, as of putting
the two things together.
I do use important.
But not for that.
You know, rather than listing a long selector to override the specificity, just put an important in there.
I have to say, if I'm being all longhand about the CSS, I know things are going to shit when I put the first important in. Time to tidy up. But yes, sometimes if I'm using multiple classes, I will have a file that is specifically classes, and I will always put important on those so that they try their best to override all the other default styles.
Yeah.
So. But yes, Jacko is right. Your co-worker is yesterday. That should get some comments.
Yeah.
Well, anybody?
It's the forward-thinking way to go, isn't it?
It seems to be.
It's planning for the future rather than...
Yes, hacking away.
For the present and the past.
Yes. This is a difficult one to pronounce.
Phil Shirai...
Phil Shirai.
Phil Sir Harry.
Hey, Sir Harry.
I've got a new job up in Newcastle. I live in Stockton, but I don't drive, so I have to get the train. To get to the train station is a bit of a walk. The train takes approximately 1 hour and 20 minutes. Once I'm off the train, it's a bit of a walk. In all, from door to door, the journey can take me 2.5 hours.
You're giving me time to write exceptionally long emails.
Yeah, to describe every minutia of my journey. That's one way, so I can get as much fun on the way home too. What's the worst, longest, stupidest commute you've ever had before?
Do you want to answer first?
No, it sounds like you want to. Go on.
Well, if you've got nothing to say, have you got a stupid commute?
No, the worst commute I ever had was just under 2 hours from Leicester to Oxford. Ooh, train set a flat.
Crikey.
Yeah, you felt very tired.
Yeah.
But Phil, Have you ever thought of moving to Newcastle?
Well, there was the other thing that I won't say about you negotiate for some home time, working from home. Companies have got to get
with this.
With the programme, man. Telecommuting is the future.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very fortunate in my new job that that was part of the agreement, was that I would largely telecommute.
Because there's no way I could do the commute on a day-to-day basis. It would drive me mad.
Yeah, exactly. And that is difficult. It's, you can't just say, well, choose a job closer to you or move.
I think knowing Phil a bit better, there's probably reasons why he stays in Stockton.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to live in Newcastle.
Eightwood. They've got a nice couple of bridges there, though.
Got a nice big statue.
And don't they do the Great Northern Run from there?
They do.
Not that I'd ever go on it.
Oh, so there's nothing wrong with Newcastle after all.
No, it's lovely.
Excellent. So what about you, longest commuter commute?
Well, I always tended to move quite close to work. And I lived in London for a while, so that was always, everything was kind of close. So I suppose it was quite stupid, some of the...
I used to cycle around London. That was quite dangerous.
Wandsworth roundabout at 9 o'clock in the morning. Yes, I've had a few. But that was fun. I loved it. Anyway.
So, the next question. It's your turn, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah,
fuck, you know. Chad Kaufman. Hi, guys. I'm looking for a nice present to give my brother. He, although not the fanatics you are,
John Hicks is,
appreciates good cheese. Good cheese. I wanted to get him some nice cheese serving ware. Can you recommend any?
Well, not a particular brand, but if you can get the cheese knives that have the holes in the knife, it's great, because when you cut, it doesn't stick to the blade. It's good eat.
Well, being an ex-chef, I would say buy him a nice German precision-crafted knife and a nice wooden chopping board. To help.
Full tang.
To hell with all your silly cheesy knives. Is my opinion, but that would be much. But you know,
cheese serving ware,
chopping board.
Yeah,
lovely, nice big wooden chopping board. Lovely,
and a selection of chutneys.
Yes, yes, some little teaspoons for your chutneys.
Yeah. A spider chutney.
So maybe we can. I will certainly link to my favourite kind of knives. Chefy knives, because they are lovely.
Yeah. Are these now, these are the ones, apart from being definitely lethally sharp because they're chef's knives.
Yes.
Are they all metal?
No, they are not globals. I hate those things. They hurt my hands. No, they're
Wusthof. I can't remember what they're called exactly. I'll link to them.
Right. Okay, how do you keep chef's knives sharp?
Oh, I'll link to the... I used to do it with the proper way, with a thingy thing, you know, proper steel.
The rod.
Yes, the rod of steel.
But as soon as I brought them home, because it's not a good idea to let more than one person sharpen a knife with a rod, because slightly different angles.
Yeah.
So you have to take it through blunt before you get it sharp again.
So I bought a professional knife sharpening thing that has two steels on an angle. It was expensive, but it's worth it. So I'll link to that as well.
Yep. Hey. Please do.
So, and John Lewis, good place for cheese stuff. Now, proud sponsors of this podcast.
The next question, actually just for me.
That's all right, go on.
Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
It's from Paul DeWitt. We've got a lot of regulars.
Yeah, we have.
The same five people asking questions. Dull designs without fireworks. This is in reference to a post I did about graphics editor or text editor. So, I'm interested that you find you get duller designs when designing straight in HTML and CSS. I'm a HTML CSS guy with no design skills, so most of my professional work has been translating designs into code. Some of the interesting looking bits can be very time consuming to turn into code, yes, whilst maintaining accessibility. Good on you. So bearing in mind that I'm not a designer and don't know much about your creative processes, one, do you find that designing in HTML and CSS keeps your design simpler to implement, thus leaving you more time to make specific bits more interesting where it really counts?
It's an interesting point of view.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, HTML and CSS does keep it simpler. But the thing is, it's not. I don't find HTML and CSS a brilliant tool for doing design. And in fact, what I sometimes do is wireframe in HTML and CSS, so that I've got a good idea of the structure And things like, you know, interface elements like forms.
Yeah.
But then I will then go and take that into Fireworks and then create a design around it.
I think that's quite important, actually, doing that.
Yeah.
Because you tend to be quite conservative about your thoughts if you're oh, well, if I do that, I'm going to have to do that. And oh, that's going to be a pain in the arse, that is.
Yeah, your view is limited. And I think Mark Bolton said it best when he said that HTML and CSS is not a design tool, it's a way of implementing design.
Mm.
So you can design straight into it, but I think the best results, especially me personally, come out of a mixture of the two.
Yep. Not that he's asking me, but yep. I concur.
Yeah. I've sometimes thought that the freedom to sketch around in Fireworks makes it easy for designers to add lots of visual flair elements that don't particularly call for it, adding more development time for not much return.
This guy should go and work for 37 Signals.
Yeah. This is it. This is the view of design being fluff or eye candy or the kind of the pretty bits. Design is as much the what form elements you have and where you put them as the, you know, the pretty rounded box you put them around. In fact, it isn't about the pretty rounded box, really. So it's that view of design as, you know, designers adding unnecessary bits.
Does he think he's sort of meaning graphic design specifically?
Yeah, but his worry is how much extra time it takes to implement.
Well, that depends.
But, you know, that's just it. And that's what separates a basic site from an interesting visual site.
Mm. Yes.
Second question. Don't you think that working directly in code can sometimes lead to really interesting designs too that wouldn't have come about working in a Fireworks type app? For example, parallax scrolling effect. Yeah, I definitely concur with that.
But to be fair,
yeah,
parallax scrolling was a conversation that we had that we kind of already decided before we did anything that to some extent we wanted to achieve a fluidy kind of feel.
Yeah.
That you then went and sorted out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And the point is that you can't show that in a Fireworks comp.
Yeah. But that would have come about anyway because it was a discussion about making the Risington podcast fluid that gave you the idea to make the clouds do that. And
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that had nothing to do with anything other than a conversation.
Yeah. And as much if you're doing for a client, any kind of fluid site like that, it's very hard to show in a Fireworks comp. So in that case, HTML and CSS, as I said in my post, I think you'll find, is that's one of the advantages. So, but again, there's a bit of a mixture of the two there. I had to actually create all that in Illustrator and then separate it out into images and then implement it in CSS. So in a sense, it was designed elsewhere. So that's it. That's that question. It's time for some John Oxton time.
Hello and welcome.
Go on.
Sheer gut gold. I wish I shit gut gold. we might have to end that bit. I just gut gold. I was like, I wish I pooed gold. Hello, J&J, who's not talking to me now. I'm going to edit that bit out. I'm going to start again. Hello, J&J. My question is, if you had the power to save one of two factories, Cadbury's or McVitie's, which would you save?
Cadbury's,
yeah.
Absolutely, first time. Yeah. I mean, it would be a shame to lose McVitie's.
Yeah, but I could live without them. But Cadbury's, on the other hand.
You know, I'd sometimes pine for a Jaffa cake. Or a chocolate digestive, maybe. What are you checking?
See who makes bounties.
Oh, isn't that Mars of Slough?
Oh, Mars of Slough? I don't know.
Oh, Mars of Slough.
It's in every bloody language except English.
You've really done it now.
I don't know.
You've seen fit to remove the cardboard strip from the bounty.
This is a good interlude. Okay. Right, yes, anyway, that answers that question.
Maybe I should link to that, actually. There's a song by John Shuttleworth about when bounties removed the cardboard strip gave it support at the bottom.
Yeah.
It was all about, you know, Mars of Slough. So I'll try and see if that's on the internet.
And you're right, because it feels less luxurious now, because it used to be a brown cardboard
tray.
Yes. Do you know what?
I hadn't even noticed.
But apparently in America, they have got a similar thing called, it's a Mouse Bar.
A Mouse Bar?
I think it's called a Mouse,
It has a tail.
It has a cardboard tray.
Hey!
Cadbury's, because I love Dairy Milk, mate.
Yeah.
I love Boast.
Yeah, Boast.
So, but so if it was if it wasn't Bounty, which is obviously Miles of Slough, and maybe already destroyed by this point,
Kit Kat Crunchies. What would be the, those?
That's Nestle, yeah.
Ooh.
So, do you like any Cadbury's? Is my question. Well, yeah,
Maltesers. Who makes those?
Isn't that Miles of Slough as well?
Jesus.
Have a think. Double decker.
Yeah, I like double decker.
Twirl.
Yeah, twirl. Flake. Yeah, it's flake.
There we go.
I knew there was a reason I wanted.
That's
to
a relief.
Yes. Yeah, so, can you imagine going for a 99 without a flake? Can you imagine a world where that happened?
I've lost track again of who's asking which question.
Yeah, I think it's your go because I just created myself a little edit job.
Oh, okay. Jason Rhodes. Do all Brits really love Doctor Who?
No.
It looks like a bumblefuck of shit acting and worse props. But maybe it's just because I'm American.
Oh, yeah, like they produce quality fucking television.
Yes.
That's what American TV looks like to me, a bumblefuck of shit acting and worse props. Especially those boobs they pretend to have.
That's an interesting point of view, isn't it?
I don't even like Doctor Who, but I'm on the defensive now.
Yeah. I think... I mean, I agree. This on this new series, there's been a couple of stinkers. Been a lot of
that's Doctor Who, though, isn't it?
There's been a lot of mediocre ones. But if you've watched the last two, Silence in the Library and Forest of the Dead, that is good acting and that is good.
That's
good writing, matey. I'll have you, Jason Rhodes. Well, maybe it's just because you're American and can't spell the A in front of American.
Yeah, and you capitalise the M.
Yeah, yeah.
How stupid is that?
Yeah.
America. Fuck yeah.
What, was it
anyway.
Fuck you, no.
Fuck you, yes.
Do you? Here's the real question. Yeah. That was just a bit of baiting at the start, wasn't it?
He just wanted to hear us swear, didn't he?
Oh, he's got me going now. Do you guys think the Zoom feature of new browsers will make thick liquid elastic debate meaningless? And can we all just go back to fixed layouts and be done with it?
Well, I'm not telling him now. He's upset me now. I'm not talking. I'm not answering that.
We know.
Yeah, we know. We're not, but we're not sharing.
Yeah. Do you think it does?
I think it does definitely help with the case for fixed layouts.
Mm.
And that doesn't upset me in any way at all.
The problem with elastic layouts is the whole of is that the photos.
Yep.
Yeah. How do you resize the photos to?
Without
to match
them crumbling into.
Yeah.
Well, there's that technology, isn't there, that's being... Do you remember how linked to that technology where you resize the photo and it...
Yes. Oh, but
rebuilds
yeah.
itself.
Yeah. But
I think that's going to be a fair few years away.
Not going to be web-based, is it, for a while? Yeah. So,
but amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
I think the Zoom feature will help us all just go back to fixed layouts.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a sensible move.
Yeah.
Much as I want to love Liquid. Just,
yeah.
It's so problematic. And I know there's people out there who just will stick with it, come what may. Whether you need it or not, you're having it. Because that's the way things are done. But I don't agree with that opinion.
Mm. Yeah. It's difficult. I mean, obviously, the brands like Opera have had Zoom for years and years and years. But it's like text resizing as well. Do people know it's there?
This is the trouble. I suppose people who need it do.
Yeah.
But then if you had Zoom instead, you get it's all, it's nice.
Yes. I mean, Zoom works nicely.
Yeah.
Okay. The last part of the question, very quickly, it says, just tell me if you've actually tried any other big open source CMSs like Drupal, Joomla, and you still think TextPattern is better, or do you just love TextPattern, hate WordPress, and that's that?
Oh, he's very provocative on this one,
isn't he? A bit aggressive.
Ooh.
He could do with a nice cup of tea and a sit down.
I think he could do with a little monkey to spank myself.
Yes. He could do with getting a girl.
He wouldn't know what to do with her.
Well, first of all, I think we just have to say, don't hate WordPress.
No.
In fact, we used WordPress when we first started off.
We did.
Written on podcast.
So there's no hate.
And I think WordPress is really good. It's just...
Not for me.
I prefer TextPattern for the way I work.
I've got nothing against WordPress as long as people use it in the privacy of their own home.
Yeah, exactly. Don't tell anybody else about it. Oh, we even pimped that WordPress Barcamp thing as well, didn't we?
Some of my best friends are WordPress users.
We look after them. Drupal I've not used, or Joomla. I've not liked the look of them, I must admit, but I've tried just about everything else.
Mm. Well, you were, before TextPattern, you were...
I was movable type.
Movable type.
Yeah. I tried Chirrup recently. Which I mentioned on the podcast, but that was really nice. expression engine I keep working with, and it's drawing you in slowly. It's just drawing me in. It's got advantages to text pattern, but there's just something nice and logical about the approach of text pattern that that makes it a best fit for me. So let me just clear this up. We don't hate other CMSs.
No,
we do use lots of other CMSs.
And it's our fucking podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, no, Symphony. I tried that and didn't really...
Did that ever launch?
It did. It's free now. But that's the one I ever really didn't like. I really took a dislike to. So apart from that, yeah.
Oh, here we go. Look, it says he's from Baltimore. We should have read that before.
That's why he needs more Balti.
More Balti for you.
Sorry, mate.
Thank you, Jason.
So the time has come and we must move on because we're at 46 minutes this week.
We can probably cut the last one out, couldn't we?
We can probably edit the last bit out and we can probably cut the bit out where I said somebody's surname sounds like a pool. But we have to pick the theme for episode 16.
Right.
And please do keep sending questions, by the way.
Okay, so this is a discussion theme for the next episode.
Yep.
How about we talk about micro formats?
Yep. Okay, let's do that. That should last all of 5 minutes.
What to say? Reference Stuart language image.
Yeah, linked Stuart language image. It's all over.
I tell you what, we'll say it's micro formats now, but we've got
the right to change our minds
completely by the next one.
It'll probably be about tea and coffee.
It's actually about baked beans.
Yeah, fireworks. Right.
Excellent. Well, thank you for putting up with all that.
Yes, thank you. Tally bye.
Tally bye.
The Risington podcast is devised and hosted by John Oxton and John Hicks, with contributions from squadron leader John Dennis. The show is hosted and sponsored and shit by the splendid boffins at Second Publishing. That's segpub.net to you internet chatties. Hurrah!
Well, that was a ding-dong end to the show, that one. God, I feel all demotivated.
Oh, no.